Okay. Today is the 28th of June, 2018, Thursday class. So we can get ready for puja. Let Brother Suyan call upon two to help light the candle and incense. Then the rest of us can stand. Lily and... Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, the two of them come. Lily and Puchong. Oh, Veng Chong. Oh, I heard Puchong. Yeah, I heard Puchong. Sorry. Puchong is Gobindi. Gobindi, yeah. Oh, I think late. Yeah, use the matches.
Not reliable.
Light the incense as well. Use the candle to light, Lily. Use the candle to light. Use the candle. Yes. Sadhu. Make the offering first.
Sadhu.
Okay. You all can be seated. Thank you. We can prepare for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava betang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Okay, you can be seated and let us turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana onward. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now let's chant the Padipa Puja, offering of likes. Ganna sarapa dithena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambara yutena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang. Vanna ganda gunopetang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujayami buddhang kusu punena matena cha hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasabhavang adivaseto no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivaseto no bante Pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now let us chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and dozes off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May this morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripa Jam. Padang Pujami. Tamang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you can be seated, then we can have half an hour of meditation. You meditate before? Oh, good, then very easy. Then I will give some short instruction. Okay, be off the light. Okay, just relax body and mind. Yeah? Make sure you have a stable sitting posture. So later on, I will give to Beng some books. Huh? So you read through, you will understand. Now you just relax body and mind, pay attention, listen to the instruction attentively. Then you try your best to develop the meditation. If you already know how to meditate, you have your own method and technique or way to do it, then you can proceed with what you are doing also. But more important is to understand clearly what is meditation and what are we doing here while trying to develop this meditation. So the key to successful meditation is to understand clearly what is it that we are doing in the name of meditation. So according to the Buddha, there are two parts to developing the meditation. First, the Buddha said, if you don't have the spiritual faculties developed, the mental hindrance will be there to make your mind heedless, think a lot. That's why the mental hindrance will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. So this mental hindrance, I will explain later, after the class. Basically, they are sensual desire, ill will, restlessness of mind. Then you have what they call sloth and torpor, sleepiness of mind. Finally, is doubt. So these five mental states or mind state, they will arise in the mind of living beings who don't have the spiritual faculties. The five spiritual faculties are Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya. In English is faith in the Buddha and his teaching, and the spiritual zeal or Virya, to walk this way after understanding the importance of the Buddha's teaching. Then after that is Sati. Sati is mindfulness, awareness, before the knowing, the silent mind. When you are without thought, you are already aware. Then the fourth one is Samadhi, when mindfulness becomes stable, the mind attains Samadhi. Samadhi is a state of mind which is undisturbed. They call it unwavering and collected. So in the midst of life, when you experience something, at the moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell, tactile feel or think or taste something, this mind is collected and unwavering. It does not stir, it does not react. So when you can have this state of mind, which is Samadhi, you can see things as they are in the midst of your daily life. Your mind will not be disturbed. That's why all this spiritual faculty make you different. And the spiritual faculty can let you understand spiritual teaching. With Sati and Samadhi, when your mind is mindful, aware, without thought, and collected, it can see things as they are and awaken to develop the wisdom. So the last spiritual faculty is wisdom. This five spiritual faculty will allow you to understand spiritual teaching. Then from there, you can overcome the mental hindrance. So for cultivator who don't have the spiritual faculty, your mind tend to think a lot, have the hindrance to hinder you from entering the meditative state. That's why in the form of meditation, you have to train this thinking mind or mundane mind or the heedless mind. To train, there are a few ways. Some people recommend methods and techniques to anchor the mind and to develop mindfulness from there. You can do that. Some, they got no choice. They go and focus, concentrate. Or they try to keep the mind quiet. They try to force the mind into a quiet state. So they use one-pointedness or samatha, object of meditation, to control the mind, to fix the mind. So these are the various techniques that people do. But what we are trying to do here is different. we are developing the spiritual faculty of sati. Then to meditate, the Buddha said you need to have the quality of mind that is ever mindful. So the ever mindful state will help you to develop the heedfulness. That when you train your mind to be mindful, then stabilize it, it become ever mindful. Then you use that to meditate. And the meditation as taught by the Buddha is basically the Noble Eightfold Path. So you use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. So combining these two, ever mindful state of mind to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, we call it heedfulness. The moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. So our purpose here is to train our mind to be heedful. That's it. To be heedful, you need to be ever mindful. So we train our mind to be mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful, so that you can be in a state of samadhi in the midst of life. Basically, this is what you need to understand. So now I will teach you a skillful means. We call it the mind sweeping method, followed by loving kindness metta, to decondition the heedless thinking for those whose spiritual faculty are still not developed. For those who already know how to meditate, your spiritual faculty is already developed. You can proceed with your meditation straight away. You just relax, silent, and just maintain awareness. Whatever that arises, let it be. All the sankhara that will still arise, they will slowly settle down. Then because you have your spiritual faculty, when they settle down, your sati will arise. Then you can meditate very easily. For those who still haven't developed the spiritual faculty, you need to develop the mind sweeping method. I will give you the instruction now. Yeah? Relax body and mind, silent everything. Make sure you have a stable posture, backbone straight. Then just breathe in, breathe out mindfully in a very relaxed manner. Then you close your eye, maintain attention at your forehead. You just feel, don't think, feel. Then you relax into whatever that arises. If there is any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just relax, relax, and relax. Feel it soothingly. Relax. Then you sweep your attention down to your eye muscle. Feel. Do the same. Relax. Every strand of the eye muscle, you just feel it soothingly. Relax. Then you continue to sweep it down to your facial muscle. Feel the facial muscle, each and every strand. Feel them relaxing. Relax, relax, relax. And to assist you to relax, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can radiate a radiant smile, you have joy. You are happy. And when you are happy, your facial muscle relaxes by itself because of that radiant smile and joy. Then you can radiate love or metta following what I recite, starting with yourself. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, all physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your heart. So this metta will bring about inner well-being, whereas the mind-sweeping method can make you calm and make you peaceful because it deconditions your heedless thinking. Then you can extend this metta to your loved one. May all my loved ones my parents, my brothers, my sister, my spouse, my children, my good neighbors, all kilometers, your good friends, people whom you have relationship with. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize them all and radiate this well-being and happiness to them. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it. May they all too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind state still be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you extend this love or metta to all beings. May all beings within the vicinity of Subhangjaya, all kayanamitas, including all beings within the whole of Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, and Mother Earth, extending to all the beings within our solar system, our Milky Way, our galaxy, and our whole universe. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will, and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Now you can come back to your facial muscle, feel, relax every part of it. Then you move it down to your neck, feel, relax, shoulder, feel, relax. Then your hand also, feel, relax. Then come back to shoulder, feel, relax every part. Then you move your attention now to your heart area, your chest area. Just silence everything and just feel. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat, just stay there. If you are new, you are not sensitive, it's okay. You just feel and relax every part, like you feel your forehead. Whatever tension, tightness and stress within you, just relax, relax and relax into it. Then you move your attention now to your stomach, do the same, feel, relax. Then you sweep it down to your abdomen, feel, relax. Then your leg, feel, relax. Then your buttock, feel, relax. Then you sweep it up from buttock, feel, relax. Then your abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Chest area, feel, relax. Then you move it up to your shoulder, hand, feel, relax, back to shoulder, feel, relax, then your neck, feel, relax, then sweep up to your facial muscle, feel them all, soothingly relax them. Then your eye muscle, feel and relax, your forehead, feel and relax. By now you should be more calm, more peaceful, the inner peace. Followed by the inner well-being. Then you need to stabilize this peacefulness, this calmness. So I will teach you another exercise or skillful means. They call it anapanasati. Mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is actually the training of the mind to be mindful of this in and out breath. It's very easy. Like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. You bring your attention in front of your nostril. When the breathing moves in and moves out naturally, you just maintain awareness silent to detect the breathing. Then when the breathing has been detected, your mind and the breathing move as one. Means like the Buddha's instruction, breathing in, you are aware. Breathing out, you are also aware. So just maintain this training of mindfulness of the in and out breath. If you are new, if you are not trained initially, you will not be surprised. This mind wanders off very fast. It cannot maintain mindfulness at all. Within split second, the mind is distracted, wanders off very fast. Don't worry, every time it wanders off, be patient. Bring your attention back to the nostril. This is how you train. After a while, your mind will be able to do it. The mindfulness will develop, then you will become peaceful, quiet, calm. Then you may even experience some good state of mind, starting with piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness. Some call it the spiritual rupture of mind. The mind like experience a type of joy, they call it, like it rapture into joy. So spiritual joy, spiritual peacefulness, calmness, born of the state of mind that is mindful without thought. So as you continue to relax into it, it will become more and more refined. Then you will experience a more refined state called sukhang. Sukhang is blissfulness of mind. Then you continue to relax and silent and allow the anapanasati to develop until your mind is very quiet, very still, very peaceful. The final stage is the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the pasati. They call it the silent mind, the meditative mind. So when your mind enters sati, it becomes very quiet, very still. So this is the training that you're supposed to develop until this mind becomes very quiet, very still. No movement at all. Then allow it to stabilize and use this silent mind to meditate. It can develop the understanding on its own. Okay, with this, I will let you meditate. Then I will ring the bell when the 30 minutes is up. Okay. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner calmness, inner peacefulness, and inner peace, mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata sattamang muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkadam Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vija carana sampanno sukato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanam Uddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo Sandetiko akaliko Ehipasiko opanaiko Pachyatang veditabu nohiti Supatipano bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipano bhagavato savakasango Nyayapatipano Bhagavato Savakasangho Samijipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Yadidam Chattari Visayogani Hatta Purisa Pugala Sa bhagavato savakasango Kuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo Anjalikaraniyo Nutarang punyaketang lokasati Sadhu Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect. Triple jam. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. There is a note given out just now. You turn the fan away from me because the direct fan I'm about to kind of flew already. Okay, anybody without the notes, you can still have them in front. Pass some to the back. Enough now. How many more? Enough now. Yeah, enough. Good. Okay. This one is the short notes for our Thursday class dated 21st of June 2018. The draft was prepared by Ponchi. She is quite good. So she prepared the draft, which is quite complete. That's why I wanted to share this so that you can develop more understanding. The first part is the instruction before meditation. So we usually have some instruction before we start the meditation. So the outline short notes summarize what you need to understand. So here is written, according to Bradshaw, it's very important that we understand what is meditation and what is it that we are doing in the name of meditation. Then essentially meditation consists of two parts, like I shared just now. Most people meditate without understanding, means they become gullible. They just follow instruction. And instruction is just a series of instruction to do certain things. That itself is not the meditation, because meditation is not the doing. The doing is essentially the training of the mind, so that this mind can be trained to be mindful, to be aware, to have the spiritual faculty, so that it can help you overcome the mental hindrance. And when the mental hindrance is no more, your mind naturally enters the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Then your meditation becomes very, very natural and very simple. So basically, if you understand this, then it's easy to develop the meditation. That's why I say essentially meditation consists of two parts. The first part is you have to check if we still need to train the mind to be mindful, then train it using the mind sweeping method followed by metta to decondition the heedless thinking. So just now I have given you all the instruction. Then you can also read it out from some of the books based on the earlier transcript. They are all clearly described in detail. Then the second part is, if the mind is already trained, then we can meditate straight away. The key point in meditation are to relax into every mind state that arises. That's why you just relax, then silent. Then maintain silence and awareness within to develop the wisdom. The wisdom or understanding will unfold naturally when one is heedful. Then you have to understand that there are two minds in you. One is the conditioned arising mind or dependent originating mind, the thinking mind. That is not your true mind. It's only when this thinking mind does not arise, when you are not thinking, when your mind is just quiet, free of any thought process, still, quiet, then you can realize the true mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. So when you understand that you have two minds, then meditation becomes easy. Means the I will read from the notes so that you understand. The mind's original state before the stirring and reaction of mind, means before your mundane mind come out, is already stillness, silent, and just aware. So just let every mind state that arise settle down on its own. There is no need to do anything, such as focusing, noting, concentrating, etc. No need. But just maintain awareness within. If an object of meditation is needed to anchor the mind, then one can use anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath, like I shared just now. Very soon, the mind will calm down and return to its original state of silent inner awareness. When one does not give any more mental energy to the thought or the mundane mind, the silent mind will develop on its own, and one's meditation will progress naturally, leading to sati and samadhi. Sati is mindfulness. Samadhi is the stability of mindfulness, the collected, unwavering mind. The silent mind can meditate on its own. One will then experience piti, sukha, and pasati, which is tranquility or stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. When pasati stabilizes, the mind will enter sati. Then one can be ever mindful in the midst of life and activity to cultivate the daily mindfulness. So finally, the real meditation is the stability of mindfulness to be mindful throughout the day. Means your daily mindfulness has to be very stable. Then the next part is instruction after meditation. So normally after meditation, there will be Q&A. Then I will also give some instruction. Bhatio advised fellow Kayanamita not to be gullible by following meditation instruction blindly. We have to understand that we are doing what we are doing in the name of meditation. Without heedfulness, we cannot meditate. All meditation starts off with the training of the mind to be heedful, as per Dhammapada verses 21, 22, and 23. Those who are not familiar, you can read it up. It's in the book. Then one need to understand how to cultivate heedfulness. First, train the mind to be mindful, and then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Next, use this trained mind to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path in the midst of life. You combine these two, it becomes heedfulness. The sign on the whiteboard is written here. Heedfulness is most important. The Pali word for heedfulness is apamada. So heedfulness equal ever mindful plus cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. And this one is based on Dhammapada verse 23, the constantly meditative, ever mindful and steadfast one. They will realize the supreme enlightenment of Nibbana. So this heedfulness is very important. The moment you are able to develop it, the Buddha said, you are destined for enlightenment. You will realize this supreme state of bond-free state of Nibbana. Okay? Then we go to note number 4. To be ever mindful and constantly meditative are the essential qualities of mind state for one to realize the supreme bond-free Nibbana, as stated by the Buddha via his Dhammapada verse 23. Yeah? So this one is straightforward. Number 6. If the mental hindrances are still there or still present, the cultivator must develop the opposite 5 spiritual faculty to counter them. Puja, or devotional practice, like what we did before we started the class, can help cultivator develop them. The faith in the Buddha and his teaching will arise when we reflect on how wonderful and unique a being the Buddha is. This will encourage us to have the virya to strive on diligently to train the mind to be mindful and then stabilize it to arise the samadhi leading to the wisdom. That's how the 5 spiritual faculty can be developed. The Buddha emphasized the importance of heedfulness via his Dhammapada verse 21. So Dhammapada verse 21 is the first Appamada verse. Appamada is heedfulness, means the section on heedfulness. There are 20 Dhammapada verses, and the first one is verse 21, most important. The Buddha under verse 21, he said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas if you don't train your mind to be heedful, which is to be ever mindful, to cultivate noble eightfold path, or develop the meditation, then the Buddha said, heedlessness is the path to the deathless, to the dead. The heedless are as if dead, means you don't stand a chance at all. Spiritual enlightenment is out, completely out. That's why without heedfulness, you are as good as doom. You don't stand a chance at all. Then turn to the next page. Excuse me. Number 8, huh? When the mind settles down, it becomes so quiet that you will enter sati. That is when you develop your meditation, just relax, silent. Let it become quiet on its own. It will become very, very quiet and very still. Whatever arises, let it be. Because the natural state of mind, that I explained, before the stirring, the reaction, is the peaceful mind, the silent mind, the true mind. Whatever that arises is later. When this sense experience arises, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste or tactile, feel something or think of something, then your mind stir and react. That's how the emotion come to be, the reaction of mind come to be, and this create thoughts, this create the evil roots, the mind state that makes you evil, that condition your heedless thinking. So this is how you need to develop the understanding, so that you have to understand that all this arise because of your lack of understanding, your ignorance, and they are all dependent originating. That's why anger is never you. Fear, worry, anxiety, restlessness of mind is never you. These are the conditioned state that arise because you don't understand. It's like all of your fear, insecurity, your phobia, your problem, they are not real. They are dependent originating due to your ignorance that arise. So if you understand, you just let it be, it will settle down. Then when you go back to your original state before the stirring or reaction of mind, you gain back your peacefulness, your silence, your inner peace, your inner calmness, and your inner awareness. So now I will read to you the whole paragraph. When the mind settles down, it becomes so quiet, and it will enter sati. When that happens, the mind in sati is not only aware, but ever mindful. One can then use this trained mind state to meditate via the daily mindfulness while in the midst of life. There is no need to train the mind anymore, because this trained mind in sati can be heedful in the midst of life on its own already. This stability of mindfulness, or this stable mindfulness coupled with the silent mind, can enable one to insight into the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature, means anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta. So this understanding is very important and very useful. Then we go on to number 9. Give me a minute. Got. Yeah, PG, it's okay. Yeah, no problem. Thank you. Okay, sorry about that. Water spill. I need a bit more. Give me one. Yeah, this note also. Okay. See, everything is dependent originating. If I don't try to get the pillow back, all this won't happen. But because I try to get it back, then this pillow is a bit big. So, it's okay. Yeah, before, it's okay. Yeah, don't worry. Thank you. Thank you. Never mind. It's okay. No need. Okay, thank you. Number 9, we go to number 9. Hence the word vipassana, which means insight into or awaken to the three universal characteristics, is not a practice. Because a lot of people get it wrong. I practice vipassana, they always tell you this. And what is vipassana is very important. Vipassana come from these two words. Actually, it's one word, but there are two parts to this word. Vi and passana. So you combine them, it becomes vipassana. So vi stands for the three characteristics of nature, which is impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. So these three characteristics of nature. In Pali it's called anicchang, dukkhang, anatta. Passana is to insight into. So to insight into the three characteristics of nature. This is basically what vipassana is all about. So vipassana is not a practice. You cannot practice vipassana. You have to insight into phenomena to realize the three universal characteristics of nature is an awakening. You have to realize it, insight into it, awaken to it through the silent mind. So there is nothing to practice. But you are so conditioned because you tend to be gullible. Yeah, everybody say, what meditation do you teach? Oh, they tell you, vipassana. Oh, then they're very interested. Or they always ask, last night they used to come and ask, brother, you teach what? Vipassana or what? If you say vipassana, they want to attend. If you say something else, they are not keen. So I realized that has been going on during the early days for a long time. Then later on, as I developed the understanding through my own cultivation, then I realized vipassana is not a practice. You cannot practice vipassana. Well, what is practice? When you practice something, practice is what? You train, isn't it? You repeat something repetitive, isn't it? That's why you practice. You practice how to ride a bicycle. You practice how to play table tennis, badminton. That one you need to practice, isn't it? But when you want to develop wisdom, how can you practice to be wise? Do you understand? Your wisdom is not through practice. And the question about practice is, who practice? Who practice? The thought that you arise want to practice, understand? And thought being limited, because thought base is limited. Your instrument is thought. And if you use that to cultivate or practice, you cannot realize a state that is beyond thought. Do you understand? That's why it's not a practice. Vipassana is an understanding, a wisdom that arises when the mind is silent, just aware. Then through the awareness, that movement and the activity make you understand. No thought is involved. No mind is involved. No knowledge is involved. It's just insight into it. It's just awakened. And it's just understand. Because last time when you are not mindful, you are not sensitive, you can't see all the movement because your mind is actively thinking, heedlessly lost in thought, preoccupied with the thought process. And your thought is so active. All of meditation, they use thought. Because from the thought, they try to understand. Then they use thought to come up with methods and techniques to meditate. And who meditate? The thought meditate. That's why the series of instructions given to you all, you go and repeat all those things using the thought. And this series of instruction is not meditation, because it's a series of instruction to do things, repetitive things. That's why the object of meditation, the method, the technique, they are not meditation. They are skillful means to train the mind, understand? To anchor the mind, or to develop either concentration, or noting, or focusing, or whatever. So if you don't understand, you get yourself entangled with all this, because you meditate without understanding. As far as the Buddha is concerned, meditation is very simple. You need to be heedful. The moment you are heedful, you are home. True or not? Can agree on that point or not? Yeah? No problem with that. So to be heedful, the Buddha said, there are two parts. You have to be ever mindful first. Then only you can use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And cultivating Noble Eightfold Path is to develop the right view, the right understanding. When you straighten your view, you got less delusion, you got less ignorance. The first two links, avijja paccaya sankhara, is weakened. Do you understand? When it's weakened, what happened? When you got less avijja, less ignorance. Weakened means less sankhara, isn't it? Sankara is what? Thinking. Mental activity. Understand? That's why you think less. And when you think less, you become more aware. Understand? Because when you are without thought, you are already aware. So when avijja is less, you don't react, you don't stir, you don't think, you don't arise mental activity, you don't create through the mundane mind. So what happens is, most of the time, you are silent, aware. That's how enlightenment come about. So when you straighten your view and your mind is very quiet, very still, silent, it will suddenly, one day, when the condition is right, awaken. Because the three turning. First turning is proclaim the Four Noble Truths by the Buddha, or you through reading or hearing. Then if you have your strong past cultivation, you can develop the awakening. The first one is Sutamaya Panya. Means through hearing the discourse, you enlighten or you awaken. If you don't have the condition, what you need to do is you have to reflect and contemplate on what the Buddha has taught. All this essential Dhamma. Why did the Buddha say this? How can I understand this? Then through this contemplation, you stabilize your understanding. You assimilate all this essential Dhamma and slowly, slowly understand them, stabilize them. So initially is to develop the ability to stabilize all this understanding. Then through that stability of mind, the silent mind, the awareness, the contemplative mind, what they call the creative mind, you develop the understanding, then you assimilate this understanding. So this understanding is born of reflection, contemplation, and inquiry. This is the second turning, the Buddha say. A type of wisdom will arise. He calls it Sutamaya Panya. But most of the time, the first turning wisdom and the second turning wisdom is not powerful enough, not strong enough to trigger off enlightenment. Most people need the third turning. Those people who can awaken to the first and second turning, these are people who cultivated before. Understand? Like Sariputta. Yeah? He heard from Asaji, he awakened. Then, the first sermon, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, Gandhanya, the moment he heard that sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon, he straight away become a Sotapanna before the Buddha even end the Sutta. Then after that, the Buddha followed by Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, the Sutta on non-self, empty nature. Straight away, all the five arahant become, the five monk ascetic become arahant. Why? Because when they heard the first one, they reflect and contemplate on it. Then when the Buddha introduced Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, it became so clear. So all five of them awakened through the second turning because they cultivated before. They cultivated before. Then the third turning is the Buddha say, Bhavana Maya Panya. Bhavana Maya Panya means wisdom born of Bhavana. Bhavana is the meditative training. So this one is all about mindfulness, sati. That's why the silent mind, cultivating, aware, daily mindfulness and all those things, the four foundations of mindfulness. So that one, the moment you awaken, is no more reflection, contemplation, is no more a thought-based type of meditation. It's the direct seeing. It's the direct awakening, the insight to the silent mind. So that's the reason why the third turning is very, very powerful. So when you understand that you need heedfulness, and to be heedful, you need to be ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, the first path factor, right view, is very important. That's why I share all this. When your right view is there, when you have straightened your view, avijja weakened, less sankara, less thinking, then you become more and more peaceful, more and more silent. That's how your mindfulness develops. Then when your mindfulness develops, you have to stabilize them to make them ever mindful. The moment you are ever mindful, you will become destined for enlightenment. That's why all our meditation just do this. So initially, like I say, if you are not able to be ever mindful, means you have not developed the spiritual faculty. Because when the spiritual faculty is there without the mental hindrance, your mindfulness is automatic. The moment you sit or in the midst of life, you are already aware. Then to stabilize it is very easy. You just determine to be aware throughout the day, the daily mindfulness. Then it will come. So this ever mindful state is what people are trying to develop. This is the aim of meditation. If you cannot be heedful, if you cannot be mindful, you cannot be ever mindful. If you are not able to be ever mindful, you cannot be heedful. No way. So the first training is to train your mind to be mindful. So what do? That's how you build up your spiritual faculty. But most people cannot do it. So if you cannot build up your spiritual faculty and yet you want to meditate, what must you do? You must come up with a skillful mean to decondition your heedless thinking so that the five mental hindrance, where is the tuchat? So that the five mental hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state, this five mental hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness, this one, as long as they are active, you cannot meditate because it will hinder you from entering the meditative state. So what do? You have to decondition this heedless thinking. Means for the time being, you have to use a technique or a method to decondition the heedless thinking so that these five mental hindrances, for the time being, you can keep them at bay, understand? So that they don't arise. This arise because you think a lot, understand? And why you think? Because you got avijja, understand? You got ignorance. So how to decondition the heedless thinking? That's why you use mind sweeping method. And what is mind sweeping method? Feel, relax, no more thinking, understand? If you do it very often, it will decondition the heedless thinking, but it will be a new way of living. You just feel, relax, and that will make you peaceful. You will not think. Yeah, this is a new conditioning, make you peaceful instead of heedlessly thinking, lost in thought. So this mind sweeping method is very useful. It will bring about the deconditioning of the heedless thinking so that your mind is quiet, peaceful, away. Then after this mind temporarily become aware, then what happens is sati will come in. Because when you don't think, your mind is quiet and still. So this initial peace is what sati is all about. But this sati is not stable, not strong. That's why you need to stabilize it. Through what? Through your technique, your method, your object of meditation. That's why the Buddha recommended anapanasati. You anchor your mindfulness to the breathing. So if you can be mindful of the breathing, then there is no thought. Then sati is established. Then you continue to train this mind. This is method and technique. But it's developing awareness, nothing else, until it becomes very stable. Then you will experience piti, sukha, leading to pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. That is the meditative mind. That is the mind that you're supposed to develop. Then use that mind state to meditate in the midst of life. That is what meditation is all about. So this will make you understand what you have to do. You have to train the mind to be mindful, aware. So, before the spiritual faculty is stabilized, you can use mind sweeping method, combined anapanasati, to train. But if you diligently do it, not long, very fast, your mind enters sati, then you don't need the object of meditation anymore. Means that mindfulness of the in and out breath will reach a stage where the breath completely like slow down until very subtle, like no more breathing, then like you are not breathing at all. Yeah. So a lot of people, when they reach that state, they scared. They thought they would die. How many of you experienced that? Yeah? Without breath, you think you will die. Oh, you experienced that. A lot of people don't understand. Actually, that is good progress. So that is the sign of good progress. But a lot of people, the thought comes in, no, I'm not breathing, no. So what do you associate with not breathing? The dead never breathe, isn't it? So you think you are going to die. No, don't worry. When you are in that state, it's the best. Yeah, I realized, nobody taught me actually last night, about 34 years ago. I was doing the meditation. Then this anapanasati just come by itself, naturally. And I know what to do. I didn't even read the sutta at that time. I don't even know what all the sutta say. Then I just do. Do until it becomes so calm, so peaceful, so still. Until I went into absorption the first time I did it. Then I thought that was it. Then I realized it was a conditioned state. Well, later on I met another teacher who explained to me about the importance of daily mindfulness. Then I checked, I realized in the midst of life, I hardly aware. Unless I hold on to the jhana or the absorption, the continuous mindfulness, anapanasati, then I can be peaceful, aware and mindful in the midst of life. But that is a conditioned state. That is not a free mind. Where I went too deep into the concentration, I need to use the absorption, the apana samadhi, to make the mind calm, peaceful and aware. Then I realized I have yet to develop the real daily mindfulness and the real meditation. That's why I switch my meditation. I release the absorption, the concentration, the continuous mindfulness. Then I come back into daily life to develop the daily mindfulness, to be mindful in the midst of life. That's how I came to understand all this. Then I realized after that I just relax and silent, the mind becomes very calm and very peaceful. Then I don't need to do anything because the breath also stops. Everything also stops. Then I realize my mind enters sati on its own. Then when the mind enters sati, very strange, it started at the retreat. Then I realize every movement, the slightest movement, my awareness magnifies. Then like I can be fully aware of that subtle movement. Then the subtle breathing all come back. Like I can be aware of that very subtle fine movement. Then I realized this is the internal breathing. Internal breathing. It's not the external breathing anymore. Because the breath didn't move in and out anymore. It's the very subtle one, very short one. Just, and you are fully aware of those movements. Yeah. Then I realized after that, everything I do, my hand move, the awareness is there. Then when I start to come out, turn everything, I was fully aware. Then throughout the day, that mindfulness was with me. Then until this thing becomes so stable, then I realized every moment of seeing is in sati. That's how I can tell you about the specific phenomenal awareness. My awareness and the pure awareness and the pure perception move as one. Even the phenomenal of consciousness, like the moving car, the flow of nature, the moving leaf. The mind and the awareness is one with it. Like I call it specific phenomenal awareness. It means this awareness and the phenomenon move as one. There is no word, nothing. The car that moved by also is just the awareness. And the mind didn't think at all. Then every moment of hearing is all in sati, fully aware. Then every moment of smell, taste, tactile, it's all of that. Then I realize, no wonder people cannot do. Yeah, their mind is not quiet. They are not silent. Yeah, when I was in this state, I got no thought. I fully aware. You understand? That's why the real meditation is not what people think. It's not about doing. Who is doing? The thought is doing. When the thought want to meditate, not focus, concentrate, and do all this, it become active. When your thought is active, you cannot be aware. Aware means what? Because our mind can only do one thing at a time. Means living being can only do one thing at a time. Either you are silent without thought, then you are aware of what is going on. But if you have thought, what happened to you? When you have thought, what happened to you? You are preoccupied with the thinking, isn't it? When you are preoccupied with that thinking and that worrying or whatever, how can you be aware? True or not? It's like when you're attending a class lecture, when your teacher is teaching, you are daydreaming. Then your classmate asks you, hey, just now you understand, huh? Oh, I was not listening. That's why you are not aware, because you are lost in thought, thinking. Then sometimes sleepy. These are all mental hindrances, understand? Then sometimes you got problem, worry you. Well, your unresolved problem, you worry. When you got worry, your mind becomes restless. That's why you cannot pay attention. You understand? Then when you don't have faith, you got doubt. You doubt the lecturer. What is he teaching? I cannot understand him. Then this now is a mental hindrance. That's why you cannot understand. Then sensual desire and ill will are very simple, very easy to understand. Every moment of sense or activity or consciousness, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste, tactile feel or think or something, what do? Most of the time, you tend to react to what you see, true or not? To what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. And most of the time is what? Like and dislike. True or not? Pleasant, unpleasant. Then you very capable. Everything also want to comment. Rain also complain. No rain also complain. Why this person like that? Why that person like that? Then when you read the paper also you capable. Wow, this opposition. Or this politician. Your sankhara keep on going up. Understand? But when you are aware and mindful, it's okay. Understand? Because you need to use them. You need to use thought to arise, to live life. But when you are heedless, not knowing how you become entangled with all this, means all this thought become like habitual tendency. Understand? Not? And what is habitual tendency? Things that you do very often. Understand? Not? That's why this mental hindrance, if every day also you react, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, means you are not peaceful. Understand? Not? You oscillate between these two. Like and dislike, pleasant and anger, then you are never peaceful, never calm, never happy. So if every moment of sense or activity or consciousness, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile feel something, or think of something, also you arise the mental hindrance, then what happened to you? Throughout the day, you arise mental hindrance. And these are the hindrances that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. Or inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So what happened to you? You will be heedlessly thinking, and lost in thought. That's why you cannot be peaceful. You cannot be calm. You cannot meditate. Then once a week, maybe, you come to the class, you try to sleep. It takes you a long time to settle down. But if you understand what I share with you, then very easy. Thought arise, let it arise. You don't feed it with any more thought energy, you don't go and fight it, suppress it, or try to do anything with it, it will slow down by itself, and it will cease. But you don't understand. And what do you do? Most people, what do? They force the mind not to think. And how do they force? They come out in method and technique. They go and note, they go and focus, they go and concentrate. That's like the kasina. The 48 meditation object. Then they do noting, rising, falling, mercy. Then they Buddha, 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 Buddha. All these are verbalization, understand? And the more you do, the more active your thought is. These are just method and technique to train your mind. This is not meditation at all. And to train the mind, you have to understand, the method and technique is like a float for you to use to learn how to swim, understand or not? To keep you afloat, because without the float, you sink, isn't it? But you don't understand your natural state of body is lighter than water. So your natural state of this body is buoyancy, but you don't know, because it's slightly lighter only, understand or not? So if you were to have the faith and allow the body to sink first, until the up thrust can actually replace the whatever bodily weight, then this up thrust will push the body up. Because the amount of water you replace through your bodily mass, accumulates principle. He called it Eureka when he discovered it. Accumulates principle is the force, the buoyancy force, is the mass or the water that your body replaces. Understand not? So the mass that your body replaces is more, because a lot of it is air inside. Understand not? So it's lighter than water. That's why this up thrust will push you up. So if you know that you will not sink because your natural state of body is buoyancy, you just relax, silent, don't do anything, your body will float. You go to the swimming pool, you try. Then after that, swimming become very easy. What you do? Move your leg and hand on it. But you already float. Meditation is the same. The natural state of mind is already in sati, aware. Why must you practice? To be aware. The moment you are without thought, the natural state of mind come back. You already aware. And that is the mind that meditate. Why you want to do things? You do things is like swimming. You don't understand what you do. You go and struggle in the water. Then every time you got fear, you panic, you sink down. They say, what? You drink water. And that one can make you miserable. Sometimes it can make you so miserable. Then what is that float? When you hold on to the float, you are confident in that. You dare to move to the center of the pool, or even swim in the river. And what is that float for? To keep you afloat, understand not? So it's just like one of the skillful means. Before you know how to swim, you need a float to help you to float. That's why with the float, you can swim, understand not? But then as long as you need the float, what happened to you? You will not understand the real swimming. True or not? True or not? As long as you are holding onto the float, you will not understand the true swimming. What buoyancy is like? How is it like without float, and yet you can float? Because your natural state of body is buoyancy. So meditation is the same. All the object of meditation, your method, your technique, your so-called Buddha, rising, falling, or chanting, or whatever, they are skillful means for you to train your mind. Do you understand? If you hold on to this method and technique and object of meditation, you will never understand what is the real meditation. Like swimming. You understand? So these are just skillful means to train the mind, the float. Like initially before you know how to swim, you use the float to give you confidence so that you swim. Then later on you try to lift the float aside. And without float, yet you can swim. That is the real swimming. So meditation is the same. As long as you hold on to the object of meditation, the method and the technique, you don't know how to meditate. So you have to meditate until you reach a state like Anapanasati. The mind enters sati. Then you don't need to anchor anywhere. You understand? The mind is already aware. You already understand how to develop that state because your spiritual faculties are there, very stable. That's why it's already aware. No need to practice, no need to train, no need to anchor with anything. That's why all the meditation object is gone. That's why Hui Ning teach the first hallmark is to take you directly to the true mind. He said, no thought. When you are without thought, you are with the true mind, your self nature, your true nature. Then from there, the silent mind that meditates will understand. But from here, everything arises. Through ignorance, through delusion, the mind stir, create all those things through sankhara. Then this sankhara, if you do not understand what they are, you keep meaning, you attach, you cling, you develop suffering. You want things your way. Then you cannot understand what is going on. But if you are mindful and aware, you realize all these are dependent originating, condition arising. Due to wrong view, avijja, you stir, you react, you create the mental hindrance. And the mental hindrance is the source of the evil. So because of that, you start to develop the understanding, then you know it's due to your wrong view, your avijja, your ignorance, your self-delusion. So you straighten your view. Then when you insight into phenomena, you realize everything is impermanent, then the words of the Buddha become meaningful. Sabbe sankhara anicchang. All sankhara, mental activity, thinking, emotion, and all those things are impermanent, dependent originating, condition arising, not real, not you. They arise through condition, through ignorance, through delusion. If I straighten my view, all this is to be. That's why without wrong view, without avijja, without ignorance, this sankhara activity will cease. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara awakened. Then when there is little or no sankhara, your mind becomes more quiet, more peaceful, just aware. Because no need to know. The curiosity of the mind, wanting to know, wanting to experience, is to be. That's why your teacher, last time the school teacher, every time you don't understand, go back and think about it. That's why you think a lot. But in meditation, you don't think. You just relax, silent, through the awareness, understand all this. Thinking can bring about knowledge, understand, solution to worldly problem. Can solve your medical, mathematical problem, understand, mechanical problem. That one you need to use thought, you need to go and think. But when it comes to psychological thing, mental, emotion, you need wisdom, understand. That's why mechanical thing, you need intelligence, understand? You need to be smart, clever. But when it comes to psychological, spiritual, you need wisdom, you need understanding, you need awakening. So this part, I hope, is clear. Then I will read on. Then you will understand. Hence, the word vipassana, which means to insight into or awaken to the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self, is not a practice, but an understanding. One cannot practice vipassana to reach enlightenment, where it is not a doing or a practice. Practice is a repetitive doing. We are following a series of instructions to do things, which is mechanical in nature. So this is very clear. Then number 10. However, most people have been taught to meditate using thought-based meditation and technique to realize the so-called awakening. This one I already shared in the 21st of June Thursday class. All this. These are all samatha and energy field practices involving focusing, concentration, and suppression of the thought, resulting in jhanic state, absorption of mind, and fantastic meditative mind states and experiences. According to Brother Teo, there is no need to focus or force the mind into any form of practice. One only needs to relax into every mind state that arises and maintain awareness to realize the silent mind, the true mind. That is the most important. If you cannot realize this, you cannot meditate. This is basic. The moment one is without thought, one is already aware. So there is no need to try to practice to be aware. Any form of doing or practice is by the thought, and by doing so, the thought makes the mind active again. So sati, which is awareness before the knowing, cannot be developed via such thought-based meditation. Sati is to be understood. Sati is just awareness before the knowing. When you understand that, the moment you are without thought, you are already aware. You don't have to practice. You only need to relax and silent. Allow the natural state of mind to come back. Like swimming. The natural state of mind is stillness, tranquility. the natural state of the body is buoyancy. If you understand this, you know how to swim, and you know how to meditate. As simple as that. Okay? Then the next one is number 12. Huh? We tend to give meaning to almost everything we perceive. True or not? Hence, you accumulate them via memories through your conditioned thinking and attachment without you knowing it. You know, your fear, your phobia, your unhappiness, all of it, I tell you. Your scars of memory. Yeah, you give meaning, and you worry about them. Sometimes you got so much fear, phobia, so intensely affected. That's why all this went into your subconscious, your memory, without you knowing. So what happened? Thought is respond to memory. So the mind, via delusion, will react, stir, grasp, cling, and attach to everything thought create, causing you to be heedless most of the time. That's why most of the time you are restless, worried, not confident, unhappy. That's how people enter depression. Huh? Get one or no, huh? Oh, he got a lot of patience like that. Inti also got one. Shoot himself in the toilet. He go to the shooting club. Can be a member of shooting club, means wealthy family, you know. Not poor fellow, no. And yet, he steal the gun, and go to the toilet and kill himself. You see? You don't think these are stupid people, no? You don't think these are people who got problem with money and all that? No, they are very wealthy. They got rich parents. But somehow they cannot understand their thought. That's why through delusion, you create all this. You attach to your views, your opinion, your conditioning. Because these people don't understand the Dhamma, don't understand life. They don't have contentment. They never reflect on those poor people that don't even have a shelter over their head or food. They are already so blessed, yet they complain, they don't know. They cannot come to terms with life because they don't have contentment. They don't understand life. They only want things their way. And sometimes they become so miserable over the wrong thought that they create without realizing what is happening. They are actually killing themselves, harming themselves, hurting themselves with the wrong thought, and they become so miserable. It's because of karma from the past. When you did all this to people, you harass people and make life difficult for people. You cause so much suffering to people you don't know. So karma is very funny, you know. You reap what you sow, you know. Either you come again, then people make you miserable. You're under a very, very funny boss, who really do all those things to you. Or, for no reason, when there is no boss that can make you miserable, because you're wealthy, understand? You got money, understand? So you don't have to work for people. So you don't have the boss that make you miserable. So what you do? What you do? Karma very powerful. Through your wrong thought, make you harm yourself, hurt yourself, and become miserable through thinking, nothing else. That's why thought is very powerful. When you don't understand, oh, Suyang got to go and collect the char kway teow for you. That's why you're very blessed tonight. Special wet char kway teow from that square there last time we go and eat. This one better. He texts me already. I say, sadhu. Going by. That's why you're already lucky today. So many turn out. I think you all know. Can smell. yes. So that is still warm. Yeah. Very good. So I will continue. This note I want it printed was because Panchi caught almost everything of what I said. And she is quite good now. She can have the understanding, and she would it. Her English is quite good. I only need to edit some of it. And the whole thing come out so nicely. That's why nowadays, most of the thing that is repetitive, I don't want to share again because it's already in the notes. But this one different, he captured a lot of new things. So I read to you, 12 or 13, 12 we finish. Once you see all this happening in our meditation, we will then understand the need to straighten our view. We are understanding the Buddha's proclamation of Sabbe Sankhara Anicchang, Sabbe Sankhara Dukkang, Sabbe Dhamma Anatta, means these are the three characteristics of nature. That is all of Sankhara, mental state or mental activity or your mental thinking are impermanent. Leads to suffering when we want things our way. And you will understand that even this body and mind is also doesn't belong to you or to us. Then the mind with such understanding will start to behave differently. It will relinquish the grasping and the clinging born of delusion. That's why with the wisdom you cannot hold. You cannot hold. Why do you need to practice letting go? Understand? Who practice? The one who hold. And the one who hold is deluded. That's why he hold. And he want to practice letting go. You see the hypocrisy or not? The gullible mind. You cannot. That's why when you understand, you are free. You don't have to practice anymore. It's only when you don't understand, you keep on practicing. Practicing all the wrong thing. The gullible thing that people teach you. Practice not to attach. As long as you are with delusion, you attach. Understand? So how can you practice not to attach? Then you come up with a new word, you know, to console yourself. I practice letting go, no. I let go, no. In the first place, why do you hold? Because you don't see the danger. You are deluded still. That's why you hold. That's why you have to practice letting go. If I have the understanding, I will never touch. Understand? Like the hot boiling water, the kid also no. Touch one time, he won't go near anymore. Even it's cold water, he won't believe you anymore. Yeah, he was burned once, understand? So like cobra, you see the cobra, you know it's so poisonous. You still want to go near it and touch it. You won't eat that. So that understanding will free you. You will avoid all this. You will not try to be funny with that thing, understand? That's why you don't hold on to the cobra anymore. Otherwise, you hold on to the cobra and try practice letting go of the cobra. That one more better example. You hold the cobra, then you try to let go of the cobra. I tell you, your evil root is as poisonous as the cobra. The Buddha called it the three evil. The other one is the three poison. You know what are the three poison? Evil is when it's inside your heart, like anger, selfishness, delusion, it makes you evil, understand? Where is the evil root? If it's a poison, what happens? As long as you keep it in your heart, what happens? It will kill you there, spiritually, because it's a poison, isn't it? That is as serious as a cobra, isn't it? The cobra can kill you, understand? So you are like holding onto the cobra and putting it in your heart, understand? Without realizing it, they are the three evil, which is also the three poison. They will kill you spiritually. Not physically, but spiritually. You don't stand a chance for enlightenment. Yeah. So all these are very good understanding. Then I read on. Finished. 13 finished. Now we go 14. One cannot practice to be wise. This one always have to be mindful and remember. Neither can one practice letting go or to have non-attachment, because only wisdom free you. Always remember, without wisdom, you go and practice whatever also no use. Your meditation is to develop wisdom, to awaken the nasana, not to experience all those fantastic mind states and try to practice letting go and all those foolish things. Yeah. Without wisdom, one will hold, cling and attach. True or not? Then who practice? The thought which is egoic practice. How can the thought which is egoic practice? It is selfish. It is deluded. Before you are enlightened, the wisdom not connected, this thought is always deluded, wrong thought. So when you understand all this, you will understand the inquiry. Who need to let go? Only the one who holds, right? True or not? If you don't hold, then what is there to let go? No need to practice. But the wisdom already tell you, this one cannot touch. This one cannot hold. Because it will lead to suffering. When there is wisdom, one will not hold. So is there any need to let go? No need, is there? Who let go? Only deluded people practice letting go. So next time, when people tell you practice letting go, don't go and laugh and say, Brother Teo say, you get me into trouble for nothing. You want to laugh, you laugh, then you keep quiet. Is it? I find it funny. Then when they ask you, you tell them the answer I tell you. Who practice letting go? The one who holds it. If you hold means you got no wisdom, is it? That's why you got to practice letting go. I'm not going to be so stupid. I develop wisdom. When I understand, I won't hold. You always lead to suffering. Then the teacher will look at you. Wow, this one from where? Then they realize how foolish they have been. No? And I ask you a very sincere question. You heard very often, is it? Even books also write that practice letting go, is it? You read about it or not? Practice letting go. Practice non-attachment. You heard of that? So, practice vipassana. You heard of that? All this is people who don't understand, they tend to do it. But the moment you understand, all this ceases to be. So we go to number 15. Similarly, meditation is not about practice. It's about training the mind to become silent so that it can insight into phenomena. But most people are so gullible that they are impressed by the words and flowery Dhamma to the extent that they meditate without knowing exactly what they are doing. So when you don't understand what you are doing, you will do that. The four support for awareness-based meditation are relax, aware, maintain awareness, 24-hour, 7-day a week, during waking and sleeping moments, and trust. Initially, it's difficult to be aware during sleeping moments, but as one's mindfulness becomes so stable, it is possible to carry that state into the sleeping state. Means the awareness into the sleeping state. Then relative caution on the danger of doing thought-based energy field meditation because though it can make one's mind very powerful, but it cannot liberate one from suffering. One can be drawn into the psychic field of psychic powers, thereby conditioning more craving and delusion, leading to suffering later on. Then the question by Brother Pang is very good. Pang, you remember, why is it important for cultivator to locate the gateway to our self nature? You remember your question? You see, the short note she prepared was so good, so comprehensive. Everything I explained, she wrote it down. This is only necessary for those who wish to walk the Bodhisattva way. The first three support for awareness-based meditation are sufficient for those who wish to walk the sainthood way, while the fourth support of trust is for those who wish to walk the Bodhisattva way. The gateway leads to one's nature, and it is a very unique gateway or point, because whatever that one has accumulated or developed will be neutralized once it goes through this gateway, before being turned into pure energy. It is a beautiful outlet for trapped energy. The pure energy will on its own activate the chakra and nadis within, making one feel fresh, still, and energized from within. Transformation of consciousness will occur, and even the cultivator's health will improve greatly because of the pure energy. Because this pure energy has the potential to heal one of all disease and discomfort during that time. However, the body, which goes the way of nature, will eventually get sick, grow old, and die over time. This again shows the nature of impermanence. Master Hui Ning's teaching takes us directly to the true mind. Enlightenment is beyond thought and mind. So when people lack the understanding that there are two minds, they become gullible. Cultivating with the mundane mind, doing the thought-based meditation, which is still within the field of thought. Baratio advised Brother Pang not to think too much about the question he had asked, because when one's mindfulness is still not stable, one cannot understand what this is all about. Even to see the dependent origination is so difficult, because everything happens so fast. When contact arises, it's not only just feeling that arises, but is accompanied by the seven universal mental factors or chetasikas, which arise simultaneously. It is not a single-dimensional event, but multidimensional. Only a trained mind that is still, have a very stable sati or mindfulness, can detect and understand all this. It becomes so sensitive that even the slightest very subtle mental stirring or movement can be detected straight away. The form and mind which is connected to the true nature or self-nature will understand what is happening, thus giving rise to the wisdom which is connected to the form and mind. Eventually, because of this wisdom connected, the phenomenal world loses its power to deceive the form and mind, or the so-called cultivator in inverted comma, who has realized the enlightenment. Without this training, one can only understand true theory and knowledge. The true mind is clouded by the thinking, sankhara, which are your emotions and thought, etc. Through the meditative silence, one can understand how the conditioned arising mind has been deceived by avijja or ignorance again and again. As one keeps on straightening one's view with regards to karma, karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama, one's form and mind become wise. With this wisdom, you will understand that the form and mind is not me and not real. It is subject to karma and goes the way of nature, following the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta. Oh, we still got one more page. Oh, okay. I think enough. We got 10 minutes. It is important to plant the seed of bohi, means the bohi mind, deep within our nature, so that lie after lie, when we have to come or choose to come, we can inherit our past spiritual cultivation. Unlike the karmic nature which follows us life after life immediately after birth, the spiritual nature can only be inherited after the form and mind or body and mind is connected to the true nature or self-nature through the silent mind via meditation. Trust is most important for one who walks the bodhisattva way. Through trust, one can connect to the true nature or self-nature and inherit one's past spiritual cultivation, just like what happened to Brother Song many years ago. When that happened, he can understand a lot of things, especially those profound teaching and Dhamma, which he has not understood before, even after reading through them many times. Then, Brother Teo emphasized the need to understand the basic essential Dhamma of the Buddha. Otherwise, we will be wasting our time going into meditation, just like what happened to the four monks during Bodhidharma time, who sat in meditation, not understanding what they are doing in the name of meditation. Because no amount of sitting can transform you if you lack wisdom. So it is not the posture that matters, but one's wisdom, which enable one to break free from one's delusion and suffering. As long as we do not understand that we have two minds, and we keep on cultivating using the mundane mind, we are wasting our time. For all Dhamma arise from the self-nature, wholesome and unwholesome, and all forms of duality arise from this nature. If we cannot understand this basic teaching, we can forget about meditation. All form of thought-based meditation will not lead us to the true awakening. All the essential Dhamma spin off from the Four Noble Truths. So it is important that we understand the basic essential Dhamma of the Buddha. which have so often been emphasized by Brother Teo in all the talk, especially the three right views of Kamma Niyama, Citta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. Finally, this talk is like a revision for everyone to reinforce their understanding, so that your understanding can go deep into your nature. We should continue to aspire, invoke vows and affirmation via power of merits, to have the causes and conditions to have this right understanding life after life, so that we can still cultivate accordingly with understanding, even when the sasana is not around. Because it's very difficult for this form of mind to encounter the genuine Buddha Dharma to cultivate. Planting the Bodhi seed deep within our mind will also create condition for us to be reborn with this kind of understanding, so that we can continue to perfect our nature life after life without having to fear getting lost again during the period devoid of the Buddha Sasana. So that's all. Oh, we still got 5 minutes. Do you have any question? Yeah? Anybody? You got any question? You can ask. We still got 5 minutes. Yeah. And then she did it. Yes, she did a lot of the Six Patria Platform Sutta transcript. And she helped me in doing up many, and she got so interested until she has improved a lot. Every time she has gratitude and joy. Because after she do, she start to understand what I try to share all this while. Then this time she captured it very well. She captured it very well. Then you wait for the other one. The 75th lesson of the Six Patria Sutta, also transcribed by Padmasuri and Alicia. Oh, that one is better still. That one I described the whole of the Bodhidharma one. How he tell of the four monks, the abbot and the other three monks. Why they are doing meditation without understanding. They are very interesting. Because the abbot and these three monks, they have been conditioned since the early days by their teacher, the teacher's teacher and all those things, that they must sit in quiet meditation. So they have this rule. Once a while, they must go into the silent meditation. 3 days, 3 nights. Cannot speak, cannot talk. So they went in. Then Bodhidharma saw. Then Bodhidharma also want to go in. Then the monk in charge outside told him the rule. He said, cannot talk. Talk means out. Bodhidharma just went in. So they sat. Then I think after almost the whole day, when they reached the middle of the night, so there were wind, there was storm and all those things. Then as usual, ancient China, the window got sound, then the monk all hear the sound. Then suddenly the wind blow off the candle. So one of the monk panicked, shouted, the candle is blown off. The candle is no more. It means pitch dark. So when the candle is no more, pitch dark, Chinese culture and tradition, fear, got ghosts. Then with the sound. Then the second monk said, you're not supposed to speak. You are out. Then the third one said, luckily I didn't speak. Also out. Then the abbot said, I'm the only one didn't speak. Is it? Then everybody look at him. You also out. Then Bodhidharma used the saucer, I told you, this one. Then he grind on the table. He did make noise. Then they asked Bodhidharma, what are you doing? Bodhidharma asked back, what are you doing? You know what they told Bodhidharma? We are sitting in Zen meditation to realize Buddhahood. They always use the word 坐禅 成佛. You understand? We are sitting in Zen meditation to realize Buddhahood. Then Bodhidharma said, I'm polishing this grayware to make it into a mirror. They laugh at him. They say, you must be crazy. This one is a graceway. How can he become a mirror? Then he say, likewise, by sitting like what you all did, do you think you can become Buddha? Then all the monks look at him, no. Then one of the monks asked, then how can we become Buddha? He said, you can only become Buddha when you understand what is meditation and what you are doing in the name of meditation. And you have to start from basic. 根本啊. Then they say, what is basic? We are all senior monks. No? We are all abbot already, you know. Ask us to go back to the Four Noble Truths and all those things, the basic. He said, no. Basic means start with the mind. 心为根本啊. Start with the mind. If the basic essential Dhamma of mind also you cannot understand, then how can you meditate? He said, what did the Buddha say? Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chi. When mind arises, everything are mind. Everything arises. So what is the Buddha trying to tell you? All the wholesome, unwholesome, good and bad, the duality, all come from mind. Understand? Huh? You don't want to meditate and look at the mind. You go and, like Gulliver, everybody says, sit. You sit. Understand? And you dare not make noise. You suppress yourself from making noise. Understand? Dare not even move. You are actually torturing yourself inside there. Understand? You are not meditating. You don't know that you have to realize the silent mind. You don't know that this mind is the forerunner of all things. So it says, 心为根本, means when you understand all good and evil arise from the mind, that's why you will understand the law of karma. You will train your mind in sati, mindfulness, to see the evil roots. What constitutes evil? What constitutes wholesome? Then only you can cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, cultivate the four right effort to prevent the arising of the wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action. And to abandon all those wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action, there is a reason. And the right effort to cultivate the right thought and all this. So all this start from mind. Start from right view, right understanding. He said, if this also you don't understand, you are wasting your time. Yeah. Then all the monks saw Bodhidharma walk out. Then everybody talk to each other. We are wasting our time. We are wasting our time. Oh, then only they run after Bodhidharma after that. Oh, ask him, please, train us, teach us. That's why you follow instruction without understanding. You are like this monk, understand? Even abbot. They just sit there thinking that by not making noise, you are sitting in zazen. Understand? Like those people, noting rising, falling, they say they are doing vipassana. These people sitting there without any movement, without any verbal words, but a lot of chattering inside, they think that is Zen meditation. They think by doing that, one day they become enlightened. This is gullible. This is not Zen. That's a way to tell them. You must understand what you are doing. And the two types of mind you have to understand. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. That is the silent mind. That is the sati and samadhi that you have to develop. 那就是定, not the concentration one. Understand? Eh? Clear, eh? By now should be very clear now. You wait till that book comes out even more clear. What I described to you is more or less a summary. But the book on come out, because Paramasuri very good, he did the transcript, I think word for word, I think. Then I had to smoothen it a bit, edit it a bit. But mine is a spoken style, spoken. I know, but it is still what they call it, what? Oral. Colloquial language. So, when I use this colloquial language, you all can understand me, maybe we are in Malaysia, we got the Malaysian English. Then sometimes we mix with Hokkien, Cantonese, all those things. Then sometimes, of course, Mandarin and all those things. So it's not easy. Then my spoken English is, I don't take care of grammar. So that is also the other part of the problem. So we have to actually do something about it to make the thing. Chui has actually written a very good foreword. That's why I always use her version of the foreword. So some of it need editing, but the meaning is being preserved. And we need to do this is because so that the understanding can be there. It can be clearer to the reader. Otherwise, if you don't understand my style, you read the colloquial expression, especially from a Western society, you cannot understand what I say when I tell you. You read what type of English is it, they will throw your book away, I tell you. So that's why sometimes I also have to agree to my shortcoming. I say, yeah, thank you so much. The way they help me to improve, then I learn. I also learn. Then sometimes I actually simplify it. Simplify it. And it's not easy. Because first, you have to understand the Dhamma. Then you have to understand how to transcribe. So the editing, of course, you leave it to me. So sometimes I prefer you to get the actual word. Actual word. Then I can remember what I say. And why did I say it? And I know my style. Then only I adjust the sentence. I rephrase it. It has come out very well. And this one is easy. Now I reach page 40 already. Yeah, another 10 over pages. I should finish by this weekend, I think. So this book is very good. This book is... That's why they volunteer to do the transcript immediately. But that day very strange. Suddenly the condition came out. That the question they asked also, everything matched one. Like, it gave me the condition to summarize all of the understanding of meditation into that talk. Then the Thursday class also same. Come out all of that nowadays. Then we punks question, the gateway never asked before. Suddenly the question come out. That's why all this meant to be is supposed to come out, they will come out. Okay, we better end. Otherwise the char kway teow cold already. Okay, I rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep this note. Don't go back and throw away. It will be useful. You have to read through. Not so easy to understand unless you are a very stable cultivator. Okay, let us do the sharing of merits, starting with the devas. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditwa cirang rakantul okasasana itta watta ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Imina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu. Yāvā nivāna pātiyā sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we will end.
Dhamma shared by saying sadhu three times. Brother Xi'an and Sister Nifong for inviting us to their beautiful homes and for the Char Kway Teow.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu to everyone for coming for tonight. That one song that we're making. So for all of you now,
then we break from Sui An's hall until 6th of September. So after that is where? Pama Suri's house, huh? Okay.